Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us here. We've got a good topic today. Before we get into that topic, do want to send a shout out. I think you'll like this, Bruce. I wanted to send a warm welcome to our good friends at Eastgate Church.
Eastgate.
Yeah, we always have a good time when we go over there and hang out with the folks at Eastgate.
Yes,
Our
we
good
do.
friend John Parker and his wife Ashley are doing a fantastic job at Eastgate Church, and I love going there. I have a great time every time I'm there. So,
Yep, same here. We do too. We actually take our house church through there and
yeah.
and fellowship with them, and that's always a good time, and so welcome. Shout
Yep.
out, all of that good stuff. You
All
did
of them.
like me. A lot of people call him JP.
Yeah.
And when I first met him, I said, I ain't calling you JP. I'm calling you John Parker.
Yeah, say
So
the
I call him by his own name. You know what I'm saying? John
whole name.
Parker, this is a shout out.
Yeah, man.
We love you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, we do. So, today's topic. This is one I think we kind of been looking for. We had this on the books for a little while. To be quite honest, it's been on the books for a little while. And I know it was something we wanted to get to eventually. And to I guess today is eventually.
Today is eventually. We're here.
So today, I think the main thing is we want to talk about Satan's devices.
Yes, sir.
So
Yes, sir.
today's topic is going to be about Satan's devices. So Bruce, I think you have something to kick us off.
I do. Let's start in 2 Corinthians 2, and we'll read verse 10 and 11. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And obviously, the main issue, the main point here is that we are not ignorant of his devices. I threw in verse 10 because I thought it was interesting, Troy, that the writer of Corinthians is connecting not being ignorant of Satan's devices with offense and unforgiveness. And I know you got some stuff to say about that later, but I think that's a good place for us to start. I really, man, this has been near and dear to my heart, if I can go ahead and say that up front, because a big part of my job in the kingdom is to try my best with God's help to help the body see what? See where she is.
That's right.
And also help her see where she's not, right?
That's right.
And that brings, certain levels of ridicule, and people don't like it sometimes and all of that stuff. It is what it is. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever the Lord's told me to do, and I hope everybody feels the exact same way about it that's called by his name. Do the thing God's called you to do, no matter whether people like it or not, right? But I really believe that this is a real issue for the church right now, and has been for a little while. Troy, it seems like nobody wants to talk about the devil. I know well-meaning people, believers in Jesus Christ, that if you bring up, the enemy, they go, "Oh no, don't. Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, let's not. What's the word? Let's not glorify him. Is that the word? There's another word that I hear
Yeah,
all the time."
they'll say that, and a lot of times what they really mean is let's not invoke him or
That's exactly right. That's
yeah.
exactly right, man.
Yeah.
And yet the Bible tells us that we're supposed to understand how he works. As a matter of fact, the writer of Corinthians, what I just read in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, there's a very definitive statement being made, for we are not ignorant of his devices, right? So I just want the church to come back to that, right?
Yeah.
Where it's a given that we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices,
Oh yeah. And is it important to understand how your enemy works? Because your counterattack has to be precise.
Yes,
And
yes.
so if you don't understand, the ways that he's going to try to attack you, then Number one, you can't be prepared for the attack.
Sure.
And number two, it's going to be difficult for you to counterattack.
That's exactly right, man.
When it gets down to it, our counterattack comes from the word of God.
Yeah.
We simply say what God is saying.
That's right.
You say what God is saying in faith. You have to tie faith to it. I don't know why people just think you can just say stuff and have no faith and it's supposed to work. Or say stuff and have no relationship with the one who told you to say it and it's supposed to work.
Well, Troy, I think a part of that has to do with the idea that it's almost like hocus pocus, man. You know what I'm saying? Just say the words, right? And the words without anything connected to them is somehow going to create the thing that you're hoping it creates. And that's just not true.
Yeah, we know it doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way, man.
There's a belief that you need to have. I think we've talked about that a little bit before, where people will think, okay, so the one passage, I believe we talked about this before, where the disciples had a problem casting out a demon from the little boy.
Yes. Yeah.
And when it gets down to it, Jesus says, in that whole discourse, he never even addressed the demonic,
That's right.
right? He never addressed it. Why couldn't we cast this out? He talks about faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. He talks about unbelief. He talks about
Yeah.
that. Never addresses the demonic.
Right.
Then he says, how be it? This kind only comes out through fasting and prayer, and how everybody points to, well, this kind of demon only comes out through fasting. What? That's
Yeah, no.
true.
No.
Yeah, that's not true. Because he never even addressed that. He was
He never
only
addressed
talking
it.
about their
And he didn't
faith or
change
lack thereof.
subjects while he was talking.
He never did.
No. He was talking about their unbelief.
He was talking about their unbelief. This kind of unbelief comes out through fasting and prayer. So the reason to bring that up is because, like you said, you say the words or you repeat the ritual and
Yeah.
you think it's supposed to work that way, and it doesn't
Right.
work that way.
Right,
If you
right.
fast and you pray and you don't believe, guess what? It ain't going nowhere.
That's
And
exactly
so
right.
there's something that has to be said about tying your faith to what God has said. Even when God talks to you about your authority in Him, then you have to tie your faith to that. You can't just say, I have authority and you go do something. No, your faith has to be tied to that.
That's
When your
exactly
faith
right.
is tied to that, then you can start to move things around. So
Hey, ask the seven brothers of Sceva.
that's right.
They'll tell you.
They tried to say the words. They
It
tried to
did
say the
not
words.
go well for them.
It did not go well for them.
There was no conviction of heart,
No.
no belief in the heart, man, in
No.
what they were even saying, And I think it's important, man, because it's not, like I said, I know people might not like the word hocus pocus, but I'm making a point. It's not magic. It's not this thing, you just hurry up and say the words. There's something that I have dealt with in the past, Troy, that I've talked about, not dealt with myself personally, but that I've talked about that I've seen in the body of Christ, where people sometimes emergency situations happen and people pray what I call scared prayers. You know what I'm saying? And I think that feeds into that. You start yelling in Jesus' name, but it's from a place of panic and fear, not faith.
Not
Right?
faith.
Not faith. Not faith. If you scream in Jesus' name and you're in faith, boy, something's gonna happen, right? But if you're screaming in Jesus' name because you're in a panic because of some emergency situation, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm just saying.
I
We
believe
ought to understand who the enemy of our souls is and how he operates. And here's the truth of it, Troy. It's not like he has this big bag full of tricks.
Yep, it's not.
It's not.
Listen, his playbook is really thin. His playbook is really thin. And I know we'll get into that here in a minute.
We will.
The bottom line is this: in the book of Romans, it says that which is not of faith is sin.
That's right.
So to your point, I can yell and I can scream and I can do all this kind of stuff and do it out of a place of fear. That is sin.
Yep.
If it's not done in faith, it's sin.
That's
It's
exactly
really
right.
that simple. So we did have a couple of things that we did want to identify
Let's do it.
as these devices. And I, th think one of the first ones that we wanted to identify was deception, lies. This is part of his plan, is to use deception and lies. We find this everywhere in scripture. I mean everywhere, where he's constantly trying. Okay, so the first place, in the first place, the first instance of man's sin was through deception and through lies. So let's can we break down deception real quick? I've asked a question before, Bruce, to one of our Bible classes. Is it possible to tell the truth and not be truthful? Right? Is it possible to tell the truth
What kind
and
of
not?
answers did you get?
Oh, I got all kind of,
I bet you did.
and the question or the answer to that question is it is very possible to tell the truth
Absolutely
and
is.
not be truthful. If you're telling the truth in order to manipulate somebody into doing something they would not normally do, or to do something that would be advantageous to you, if your motive is to control someone or something like that, and you use the truth, yes, you told the truth, but you were not being truthful
That's right.
because your motives are poor. Your
That's right.
motives are not moral, if that makes sense. And so we see a little bit of that throughout the Bible where Satan will actually say something that's true, but he's definitely not being truthful.
That's right.
And that's how the deception happens. Like, wait a minute, that sounds true. Well, it is. The statement itself is true, but is he being truthful? And sometimes you have to be able to filter through that. The best way to filter through that, have Holy Spirit check you, right? Try the Spirit by the Spirit, right? Holy Spirit check you. And then there's just stuff you're going to be able to find in the Word of God that would align to that or not align to it. And if it
That's
doesn't align
right.
to that, then reject it.
That's right.
Deception is one of the places where he's going to start. In fact, everything that we read from this list that we're going through is going to boil right back to deception. His playbook is very
That's
thin.
exactly right, Troy. I'm glad you said it. I was going to say it, but I'm glad you said it. Because it's true. Everything else you could almost describe as symptoms of deception. Some level of deception, some type of deception or other. Pretty much everything else on your list, I bet.
Oh yeah. It'll boil down to it. The Bible calls him the father of lies,
Yes.
which was is the origin of lies. And when it talks about the father of lies, it's talking about the origin. Every lie comes from him.
Yeah.
The father of lies. And he will take we're under the fig tree, man, so we can speak freely, right?
Yes, we can.
We're starting to see a lot of this now. Being pervasive in these houses of worship, where there is something that is normally biblical, but it's twisted just enough to become seductive to people, right? Just enough. And at that point, it's not truthful anymore. You've taken the truth and you've twisted it just enough. It sounds almost right. And we're seeing a lot of this happening, especially if you're on social media. You
Yeah,
see a lot
man.
of these social media preachers, and it's not all of them, but
But there are a lot of them.
there's a lot of them that are taking the word and just twisting it just a little bit, just a little bit, and just a little bit is enough to take you off course.
Sure it is, man. I mean, that's what the serpent did in the garden, man. You know what I'm saying? Just
Absolutely.
the other thing, if I can add this before you continue on the list, man, I want to hear this list, is when I think about the serpent in the garden, and I think about how he got Eve off, for lack of a better term, it was deception, but it was deception in the form of a question. You know? And I
Yes,
think that's
sir.
important to say, Troy, to anyone who may be watching and or listening, to our podcast. You got to really watch out the questions that pop up in your mind, right? Because
Absolutely.
if there's a question, you need to take it to God. You need to take it to the Word of God, right? To
Yeah.
get that question answered, if there is a question, right? But once you begin to know the Word of God, there's certain questions that you ain't got to do nothing with except don't receive it. You don't have to do nothing with except just reject it. A
Reject it, yeah.
question about your health, you ought to reject with everything you got in your body. You know what I'm saying? Question about you being taken care of, you ought to reject it. I don't care if you're on food stamps. It doesn't matter if you belong to the kingdom of God. If you belong to God, any questions that pop up in your head that the Bible has already answered, you ought to know to reject it, full stop.
No, 1,000%. You're on the right track. The questions that pop up, I've said this recently here in a sermon, you're going to have to continue to declare the word of God
Absolutely.
in your life, right? I personally, and
Absolutely.
I'm not knocking anybody for this, I personally don't think the Bible was meant to be read silently. Personally, I don't. It's a book of declarations.
It is a book of
Really is a
declarations.
book of
I agree
declarations.
100%.
And I think I mean it kind of hints towards some things when it says faith comes by hearing. If you're silent about it, you're not hearing it. And I know that seems kind of simple, and maybe that seems like semantics to some people. I just don't
Well,
believe that the book was meant to be read silently. If you read it silently, I get it. I understand it. I'm not knocking anybody for it. But
even Joshua was told to mutter, to
absolutely.
meditate, and that word meditate literally means to mutter. So
Mutter.
even if you're saying it under your breath, you're still producing air. The
Absolutely.
words, you know what I'm saying? The words are still coming out like, oh, let me go deep, like the
Yeah.
ruach.
Was that because of
That's because of the shirt, baby. I had to throw the
the
shirt in there for you. You
shirt?
know, but yeah, man, I absolutely agree, bro. I
Yeah,
absolutely agree.
it does it means so when we talked in the sermon, I was saying that it's important for you to continue to declare because where you
Yeah.
stop speaking, another voice will.
Yeah, man. Oh
When
my
you stop
goodness.
talking, another voice will start
Boy,
speaking. And that
that's
voice
so real.
more than likely does not have your best interests at heart.
That is so real, dude.
He told Joshua again, keep this word in your mouth to mutter, keep it in your mouth. Because as long as you're talking, right, that other voice can't. You just keep talking, Joshua. You just keep talking. And I think it's a valid point for us to understand.
Yes,
Looking
sir.
at this word, understanding what this word says, get it from here, head knowledge, to heart knowledge. Like David said, help me hide the word in my heart, not in my head. Help me
Why?
in my
Ooh.
heart that I might
Why?
not sin against
That
you.
I might not
We
sin against
we're
you.
trying to get it from head to heart knowledge. And when you get it in heart knowledge, then nobody's taking that from you.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Nobody's going to take that from you.
Right.
And so I'm looking at this, even when the deception comes, you're like, no, wait a minute. It's
Wait a
here.
minute.
It's here. Our model showed us that when he was tempted in the wilderness, the first Adam was tempted in the same way that the last Adam was tempted. The
Yes.
biggest difference between the two is one declared what the word of God said and the other
Yeah,
one didn't.
That's right.
That's
It is.
really
It
the
is
reason.
written.
It is written. He told him what was
Shut him
written.
down.
Because it wasn't up here,
Yeah.
it was in there.
Yeah. Shut him slap down. I love it.
Absolutely. So, deception and lies, you have to be on guard for that. I want to say this real quick before we move on, okay?
Yeah.
Jesus said it is written. He said it is written. He said it for all three of those temptation
Yes, sir.
attempts. He said it is written.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time saying it is written if you haven't read what was written.
That's exactly
So,
it,
if
man.
you're not in the Word on a daily basis and you don't get it in your heart, you're not going to be able to say what's written if you haven't read it.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I
And I
think it's
think you're right
important.
on it.
Yeah.
I'll let me just maybe infuriate a few people a little further, right?
Let's get it.
It's not wrong quoting your pastor,
Yeah.
as long as your pastor's quoting the word.
There you go.
But don't get it twisted though. Quoting your pastor quoting the word is not the same as you quoting the word. What, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same. That's no indication that you actually have it down in your heart because you take really good notes in church, right? And then you go back and you quoted to somebody what the pastor said. I'm not making light of it. What I'm saying is, listen, you gotta have that thing down in your heart for yourself. It's not wrong quoting your pastor or your leader, but you better know that you know that you know it when your pastor or leader is nowhere
That's
around,
right.
and you need that thing to rise up out of your own heart, and you can say it to yourself or speak to a circumstance or whatever, man. So I just wanted to throw that in there too, man, because I know a lot
I
of
love it.
believers, they the pastor said and the pastor said, and they put the cute quotes on social media that what their pastor said, you know, that the past Sunday or whatever. That's all fine and good, man. That at least you were listening. My
Yeah.
encouragement is to make sure that it's down in your heart
Correct.
as deep as it is, or at least should be, in your leader's heart. It's still up to
Absolutely.
you. You got to go a little further than just quoting your pastor.
I agree. Oh, I love that.
What else you got on that list?
Advice number two, distraction and diversion.
Oh, my, 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 my. Look over here.
Distraction
Look over here. Look over
and
here. I'm tearing up your life over here, right? Look over here.
diversion.
Yeah, man.
I know, right? I'm gonna tell you where I see this playing out the most.
Okay.
Bruce, I see this playing out the most when it comes to spiritual disciplines.
Wow. Okay.
Your prayer time, your fasting, your studying of the word, the spiritual disciplines like that. I think what can happen is life, and I say that way. See, we can do that on video now. I
Yeah,
don't have to
we
say
can.
that
Yeah,
my
we
quote.
can.
Yeah.
Throw them quotes up.
Life.
For those who are only listening on the podcast,
That's
we now have quote fingers up.
it.
Life.
Life has a way of distracting you.
Yeah.
And those distractions aren't always normal. And I want to say it this way, or natural.
That's right, man.
They're not always normal. They're not always natural.
That's
There
true.
are some distractions that come in your life specifically. When you know you have been called to do something and you've set your heart to go do it,
Yeah.
now all of a sudden, mama's calling with this issue.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, work needs you to stay a little bit later throughout this week because you've already set your heart to do what God has asked you to do.
Sure.
Now the distractions come into play. Now
Sure.
the diversions come into play. I think this is really where. These diversions do come in, not just in those little areas, but also dangling money in front of you. The
Yeah.
pursuit of those type of things, material things and stuff
Yeah.
like that. Those are part of the diversions. Those are part of the distractions that keep you from the spiritual disciplines,
Yeah.
that you're supposed to partake, in
Yeah,
which you're
that's good,
supposed to
man.
partake, I should say.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else?
Number three. Doubt and unbelief.
Ooh.
Doubt and unbelief.
Oh boy.
There's a difference between the two. Doubt is not good, right?
Right.
But unbelief is worse.
Yep. I
Okay.
agree.
If you don't doubt, right? Because if you pray and do not doubt, it's what the Bible says, right? It's giving you certain promises if you do not doubt. So we know
Right.
doubt is not a good thing.
That's right.
When I'm dealing with people, I would much rather deal with people that have doubt because if you have doubt, you are still searching for truth.
Yes.
But when you're in unbelief, you're like, I see it, I just don't care to believe it.
Yeah.
That's
That's good.
a bigger problem,
That's good,
right?
man.
So for some people who are in doubt, no, it's not the optimal place to be. But at least people that are in doubt are still open. They're searching. Maybe this is true, maybe it's not true.
Sure.
They're at that point. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Maybe that guy was right what he told me. Maybe he's not. Maybe my experience is right. Maybe his words are wrong. You're still struggling with that. But when you're in unbelief, it's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah. Even if I do see it, nah, I'm done. I don't
So,
believe.
sort of like I believe, Lord, help my unbelief.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Here's something. And I always I like to point this out, right? This is probably one of the fallacies of our human nature, because we tend to define people based off a single incident. Example, when I bring up the name Thomas, when I bring up the name Thomas,
Poor Thomas.
yeah, most of the
Poor
time,
doubting Thomas.
there you go, doubting Thomas. And that's how I learned about Thomas,
He
doubting
can't,
Thomas.
he cannot overcome that, hasn't overcome it in all these many years.
It's
Thomas may be in heaven
crazy.
right now saying, "Daggone it, God, they calling me doubting Thomas again."
This is what I tell people, though. It's probably it too. I tell people, I said, this is what you have to understand. Thomas poured everything he had into Jesus, and now Jesus was dead. Is it possible that Thomas was simply speaking out of disappointment?
It's possible. I believe it is.
You know, as opposed to just straight doubt. Here's my thing. It wasn't even the world. It wasn't even the unbelievers that labeled him as doubting Thomas. It was the church.
It was a church.
The church had this one incident of this man and labeled him based off this one incident and won't let him from underneath the load of that one incident.
No, stay
When
under
if
that bus.
exactly, if you flip back just a few chapters, when Jesus said, "We're going to Bethany," Thomas was like, "Nah, they're going to kill you if we go." Jesus was like, "Nah, I'm going to go." And Thomas was like, "All right, if we go, I'll go with you and we'll die
We'll
together."
die together.
Doesn't sound like doubt to me.
Ride or die.
Yeah,
But
that
nobody
doesn't
talks
sound.
about Thomas as a ride or die kind of dude.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. But just a few chapters before that, that dude was willing to risk everything
Yeah, it's a great point, man.
because of what he believed.
It's a great
And then
point.
we have this one incident, which is completely understandable. If he had, no, I shouldn't say if, since he had the wrong view of who Christ was, then now it looks like Jesus lost. You know what I mean? And his heart might be broken. He might be disappointed. And no, unless I see it, I won't believe. We label him off that one incident as opposed to the other incident, which is much stronger because I'm willing to lay my life down for what I believe. It's just one of those weird things, you know?
You know who else? Who else? The this modern body, I will say it like that, does that to Peter.
Oh, yeah.
The water incident. You know what I'm saying? The walking on the water incident.
Yeah, man.
I don't know that I've heard, honestly, in all the years I've been saved, I don't know that I've ever heard a preacher who hangs out on the fact that he did have enough faith to get out of the boat. Everybody just automatically goes to and Peter and where he failed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes to where he failed, and Peter began to sink and said, "Oh, help me, Jesus!" You know, he probably sounds, "Help me, Jesus," something like that, right? You know, and I'm like, "Daggone, man!" But Peter got out of the boat, and nobody talks about the 11 that didn't.
They don't talk about the 11 that didn't, and
You
even
know.
more important, Bruce, they don't talk about the fact that Peter walked on the water
They don't
twice.
talk about the fact that he walked on the water twice,
Even
dude.
after he failed and Jesus pulled him up, the Bible says they walked back together.
Almost every sermon I've ever heard, man, they talk about when he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the wind and the rain, and he began to sink, and Jesus had to save him. And yeah, man, I'm like, daggone, dude. You
Yeah,
know,
man.
come on, y'all.
After you end up failing, he says, "Let's do the same thing again."
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, that just went horribly for me the first time. Oh,
Yeah.
no, let's do the same thing again, but let's do it together this time.
Let's do it together.
It
Exactly.
still takes faith to do that again.
Exactly.
So, I don't
But
know.
you know what? But that I think the two examples we just gave, Troy, really shine a spotlight on where a lot of believers are today in their own individual lives, their own individual walks with God, their own individual struggles with this kind of thing, with distraction, deception, and all of those things, man, and not actually knowing how to handle them, or I should say more specifically, how to speak to them.
Yeah, I think so. Again, Bruce, we're talking about Satan's devices, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not just what he does, but why is he doing this? Right?
Yeah.
That's equally important. Why is he doing this? Well, if I can get you into doubt and unbelief, now the promises of God don't work for you.
Yep.
Because the currency of heaven and the currency of this kingdom is faith.
Yeah.
The transactions are made through faith.
Yeah, right.
And so now, if I can, it's almost like if I can shut down your bank account, you can't make any purchases. And that's kind of how, if I can continue to chip away at your faith,
Yeah.
you won't be able to make any purchases in this kingdom that you believe you belong to.
That's right.
And so we have to know why. If you ever stand firm in faith, if the believers in God, this kingdom would fully stand in faith, it's a wrap for him. And
Yep.
he understands that,
Yep.
right? He can't do near the damage that he's doing now. So
That's
it's
right.
important to understand why. It's not just, okay, I'm being distracted. Why are you being distracted?
Why are you being distracted?
Why do you have this doubt?
Yeah.
You understand? Why
Yeah.
are you teetering on unbelief? Why? And there's a reason why, because he's got, if he can shake your faith, if he can, especially if he can steal your faith,
Yeah.
if you hand your faith over, then he'll wreak havoc in your life, man.
Yeah. Good questions, man. Good questions that every believer should stop and say, okay, wait a minute. What is he trying to keep me from? What is he trying to keep me from seeing? I believe the Lord told me one day,
Man.
Troy, that the things that you struggle with, he was talking to me personally, so I'll be very transparent. Years ago, the Lord said to me, he said, the things that you're struggling with right now, it's simply because of some area of me that you don't know about yet.
Oh, man.
He said, so ask me. You see what I'm saying? He was beckoning me to come closer and to ask him to help me to see, per what you just said, help me to see why I'm struggling with doubt, unbelief. You know what I'm saying? Oh, am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to take care of my family? Oh God, help. And he just whispered it to me like a good father, man. So kindly. He didn't rebuke me. He just said, every area that you struggle in right now is because of something you don't know about me yet. And I was
I
like,
agree.
man, okay. That's good, Lord. And I thank you for it. And so yeah, and it adjusted me so that I would know, okay, I gotta learn more about who he is. In other words, there's a revelation. Ooh, this is good. There's a revelation waiting for everyone that's in any kind of struggle in these particular areas. Doubt, unbelief, distraction, deception, right? Even revelation, once again, because this is what we're talking about, even the revelation of knowing who's actually against you and how they operate. That's exactly what the topic is today. This takes
Absolutely.
revelation, man.
It
Somebody
does.
got to finally go back to God and say, hey, Lord, it just really feels like the enemy's kind of beating me over the head. Can you help me to understand what it is? Ooh, can I say this? What it is I need to know about him.
Yeah, man. It's the stuff you're saying now to a lot of people is going to sound crazy. It's
well.
not crazy at all. It's not crazy at all. If he's telling us to learn his devices, if he's
If
telling us
he's
to
telling us
know
to
your
learn his
enemy,
devices,
then we
right?
need to know.
We need to know. Wait a minute. I fell for this for the, you know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. Wait. I fell for this trick, the okie doke, the banana in the tailpipe, some of the fun stuff we like to
The
say about it, right?
banana in the
Wait a minute. I remember, and I think I've talked about this before. This is a real simple example, real pragmatic, but I remember for about the span of about 5 years, I would get sick, like a cold flu type sick, right? Every January. It took me about 5 years before I realized what was going on. And I said, "Oh, I got it. I got it." I went before the Lord, see? I said, "God, there's something going on here. This is not normal. Help me to see." And he showed me what was going on. And all I did was speak to it. And that was it, yo. That was it. But it took 5 years because it was only happening once a year, but it was happening at the same time every 12 months for 5 years. There's things happening in people's lives, Troy. There's things happening in your life, brothers, sisters that are listening. There's some things that are happening in your life that are absolutely demonic, that are sent from the pit of hell, as some people like to say, the pit of hell. Everything comes from the pit of hell, right? And but you haven't noticed the pattern yet.
Man.
Ask God to help you to see the pattern. Ask God to help you to understand the source of where this thing is coming from. And I guarantee you, He will. And then you got to be brave enough, bold enough, and have enough faith in your heart to speak to the thing. And then that thing will get up off of you and go mess with somebody else.
There you go. I love that.
Yeah, man.
I
What else
love
you
it.
got?
Let's go. Oh, this one's fun. You ready for this one?
Number four? This number four?
Number four, division and discord. Division and
Oh,
discord.
did I just see? I think I just saw parentheses pop up in my mind that said in the church.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Oh, six things that God hates, and seven is an abomination to him. And one of those is sowing discord among the brethren.
Sowing discord.
Sowing discord among the brethren.
Yes,
So
sir.
in parentheses, in the church, yes.
Yeah.
Sowing discord among the brethren.
Yes, sir.
Division, does division exist in the body? I'm going to say, considering we don't even know how many denominations there are, I'm going to say yes. I think I'm forced to say yes. We don't even know how many, just how many Baptist denominations there are. You know, how many?
Hey, can I call them splinter groups? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm
Keep
just
talking.
so being.
Keep
Yeah,
talking.
how many different? Free will Baptist, primitive Baptist, that we don't even know. It's just so many of
Southern
them.
Baptists,
Southern Baptist,
other Baptists.
So I'm going to say definitely there's an issue there with division. Now here's the deal. Why? Here's why. At the core of all this division and all of this discord, at the core of this is what Satan is trying to do. He
Yeah.
is trying to destroy the family.
Boy,
He's
we
trying
did
to
not talk
destroy.
about it, but I knew that's where you were going.
He's trying to destroy the family.
Yeah.
One thing we know, God loves family,
Yes,
which
sir.
means if God loves family, Satan hates it.
Yep.
If you notice, Bruce, and I'm sure you probably have, there seemed to be no attack on Adam
It's really
until he
good.
started the family.
Really good, Troy.
Yeah.
Really good
There seemed
observation,
to be
man.
no attack on him until he got a wife.
Really good observation.
And that's the beginning of a family. He
Yeah.
hates family.
Yes,
What are
sir.
we called as believers? We're called the
The
family of
family
God.
of God.
And so, what does he need to do? He needs to destroy the family. So, how does he destroy the family? By sowing discord.
Discord.
This is okay. All right. I hear what you're saying. I kind of agree with what you're saying, you know. But what can you expound on? Of course, we can. Here are some tactics that he will use. One of his best tactics that he will use in a church is gossip. It's one of his tactics that will, and it works.
Isn't it called sharing?
Oh,
in the church?
I guess if you want if you want to deceive yourself. Yeah, if you want to deceive yourself, you can call it that. The gossip is one of those things that he will use. Slander is another one of those things he will use.
Oh
Okay,
my.
since we're here, okay,
Slander. Oh my
since
goodness.
we're here, why is it that we have so many people that love Jesus
Yeah.
that seem to have to get on social media and attack other people that love Jesus?
Oh my. Oh boy.
See how this
Oh
works?
boy. Oh boy.
You can't just do your social media ministry and go about your business. It seems like you always got to call somebody out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't understand this is part of the plan.
Yeah.
Slander, gossip. If he can get you into that, if he can get you into the back and forth. I'll say it this way. If you're constantly on social media calling out somebody else, how much of that time could you use to go and disciple somebody or win some souls?
That's exactly right, Troy.
Why
No,
not
it's
let
real,
God
man.
vindicate?
It's real, man. I just posted something on social media, I think yesterday, day before. I think it was yesterday, actually, talking about, and I used the term Christian. Got my quote fingers up for those who can't see us. I used the term Christian content creators. And it was just a thought I had about how Christian content creators, just seeing this from observation, will, if they don't turn to the Word of God, they'll turn to themselves for revelation and then eventually turn on each other. To your point.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand, and I don't think people realize this is a tactic that he uses to cause division,
Sure, it does.
divide the body. What he's trying to do is divide the body.
Yeah.
He's trying to divide the family of God. It's what he's trying to do. And I got to be honest with you, it's kind of working.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, but it doesn't do any good to act like it's not effective. It hasn't been effective.
Sure.
That doesn't do us any good. We need to
Okay.
recognize where we're being hit over the head as the church per se, right?
Yeah.
And then work on mitigating, you know what I'm saying, and eliminating that threat. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I would even use the word neutralize. Learning to neutralize the threat,
Yeah.
and not just walk around. You get popside the head enough, you know what I'm saying, and it don't kill you. The weird thing that happens with that, Troy, is that for so many people, that becomes their norm. And now they just tolerate it.
Unfortunately, you.
You know what I'm saying? You just
Oh.
tolerate it. You just
Oh.
tolerate it. Maybe you're not the one that's spreading lies and rumors and gossip, but you know that lies, rumors, and gossip are being spread, right? In your gathering, but you tolerate it. You know what I'm saying? Because, well, God, I'll need to pray for him. No, let's go back and look at how the what I call the New Testament church, right? How they handle things. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to say, not on my watch. We're not having that here. That is unrighteous. That is unholy. That there's no place for that. And
Agreed.
we demand that it stop now. But here's the thing, nobody dares put anybody out of the church anymore. Did I say
And
that
that's
out loud?
biblical. Yeah, you did, and it is biblical. And Paul talks about it, put they won't if they won't.
If they won't.
They won't turn their lives around. They won't follow the precepts that God has laid out. If they continue to so put them out.
Put them out.
And we just, like you said, we don't do that too much
Some of the
anymore.
greatest moves of God we ever had in one of the churches that we were connected to many, many years ago, One of the greatest moves of God we ever had on a Sunday morning was when certain people left. They didn't get put out per se, but they ran into the gauntlet that said, you can't do that here. And so they got offended, right? My quote fingers, offended, and left. And then the next Sunday, God moved in the place like we hadn't seen before. You know what I'm saying? So,
That's you.
I mean, just side note, maybe God ain't moving in your church the way you'd like him to because you're not willing to put the gauntlet up, right? And tell those messy people in your congregation that you can't do that here.
Oh, man.
Period.
We need more people to stand up and do that.
That's exactly right, dude.
You
That's exactly right, man.
said a key word. And that's going to lead us to the next point. What is this, number five?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Offense and unforgiveness.
Ooh, you said
These are
a
tactics
bad
that you
word.
will use quite a bit to keep people from experiencing God in the way that they should.
Yes.
I'm going to try to say this without making too many people upset. We live in an age now where people are hyper offended. If you
Yeah.
disagree with me, I'm offended.
Yeah.
Even if I'm wrong
Yeah.
and you disagree with me,
How
I'm
dare you?
offended.
How
I
dare
don't
you
even,
disagree with me?
exactly. Let me consider your statement to see if there's truth to your statement. Instead of doing that, I just automatically go to being offended.
Yeah.
And people carry this offense with them. They hold on to grudges. They pet this offense almost. It becomes a silent partner, and that offense does lead to bitterness, resentment, and it does lead to a breakdown of relationships. Unfortunately, we live in that society now where people are like super, not just super offended. Not just hyper offended, but super hyper offended.
Oh, yeah, no,
It's
for real.
to that point now.
Don't they call it triggered now?
Oh,
Isn't
I
that
think
one of the
so.
words?
And I don't even know why. I really don't. At the point where things trigger you, it's like, hey, when they say that, it triggers me. Well, go back to Galatians 5 and read verse 22. And when you read about the fruit of the Spirit, read that last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's self-control.
Self-control.
You know what happens when you display self-control? You don't get triggered.
You do not get triggered.
You don't get triggered. That's interesting to
You
me.
learn the heart of the straight face. The enemy poked you, expecting you to, you know what I'm saying, to really express. And you just keep a straight face, and now the enemy's confused, like, wait a minute, wait a minute,
That's supposed to work.
wait a minute. That's supposed to work, man. He should be all over the floor by now. And you learn the art of keeping the straight face and saying, hey, look, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Put a
That's
little
it.
smile on it. Thank you, Lord.
That's
Hey, get real good. Put your hands up. Father, I thank you. Oh, you're so good. You're so good.
it.
Yeah, because he knows what can put you there if you're not, you said a word earlier, if you're not disciplined.
Discipline.
If you're not disciplined.
Yeah. That's it. Offense is one of those things too, man. It happens with families, it happens with church members, it happens with I mean we saw here's a good example. I didn't even have this as an example. There was an opportunity for Paul and Barnabas both to walk in offense. And they decided not to.
That's good, man.
Instead of us, because I'm upset with you, you're upset with me, but I am commanded to love you, and not just love you, but love you a certain way. Just like you're commanded to love me and love me a certain way. But in order for us to do that, we got to put some distance between us. In order for me, because if I see you every day and I walk with you every day, I open the door to offense.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And it's very easy for me to become resenting, right? I
Yeah.
can harbor that resentment. I can harbor that bitterness. So instead of us doing that, why don't we just put some distance between us?
Yeah.
You go do the work of God over there. I'll go do the work of God over here.
Yeah. If
You
that's what
know?
it takes for us to remain brethren and to stay out of offense, it's okay.
And sometimes we got to recognize when that happens.
Sure, man.
We
Sure.
have to recognize that. Is there a way for me to avoid this? And there is a way. As a matter of fact, somebody can do something bad to you, Bruce,
Yeah.
and you can say, you know what? I could get them back. Obviously, that's not God's way,
Yeah.
right? I
Yeah.
could get them back. Paul writes this, and it's in, I want to say 2 Corinthians, but he writes this. He says, if someone, and I'm paraphrasing, if they do you wrong, why not just be done wrong?
Troy.
That's a tough pill to swallow, but it is an option.
Troy, if there's anything that's happening right now that's very real, is the, how do I say this? It is the rejection of anything that appears to be taking the L, that
Oh,
appears
yeah.
to look like taking the L, that appears to look like losing, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And yet he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. Our example, you know what I'm saying? Our example is someone who looks like he lost. This is gonna mess some people up. I'm gonna say this. This is gonna mess some folks up because it is so it is I just had one of those squirrel moments, right? I just guys, I'm talking about the L, right? It looks like an L, but it's not an L. It is the exact opposite of an L, but it appears to be an L. You appear to be losing, right? I'm not even a Star Wars fan, but I do remember when they were fighting Darth Vader and the other dude, I don't even know his name. I'm gonna get beat up by all the Star Wars fans, right? But the other dude, when he decides not to strike back, and Darth Vader thinks he's won.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm
That's
saying?
actually a good point.
It just kind of hit me, right? And I know y'all, some of y'all Star Wars fans are gonna beat me up. I look forward to all of your comments because I won't see any of them. They'll go straight to Troy Boozer. So please send as many comments,
See, send as many as you
as
can.
many as you can, actually. But you see my point there, right? All the Star Wars fans will understand the point that I'm making. He understands that I could keep fighting, but he's trying to destroy evil. He's trying to neutralize evil. And it's weird because evil, if it's fed, it just gets bigger. You know what I'm saying? If it's fought, it just gets bigger. You fight the bitterness, and the bitterness doesn't go anywhere, it gets bigger. There is at some point a yielding, and I know I'm going way down a path, and please bring me back with number six, but
No,
there
you're
at
good.
some point we have to learn, Troy, how to put down our weapons of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. At some point, you got to learn to put down your weapons and let it look like you took the L, to your point, 150 minutes ago. I went long down that road, but you know, sometimes you got to be willing to look like, oh, yeah, it looks like I lost, but I know I won. I know I won. You know what I'm
Sure.
saying?
That, listen, that's why not be wronged is what
Why
Paul
not
said.
be wrong? That's great, man.
Why not just like you said, just take the L. In the end, you might take the L in front of people, but in the
Yeah,
eyes of
brother.
God, you did what the heart of God is. Which one is more important? right?
But God is shaking his head like, yeah,
Yep.
that's my boy. Y'all
Yeah.
see that? Y'all see that? He didn't hit back. He didn't strike back. You know what I'm saying? That's mine right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good,
That's
man. Number
it.
six.
Number six, fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety.
All of these are tools that the enemy uses, right?
Yes. These are all Satan's devices, which really they all rolled up into that first one anyway, deception. You know, fear and anxiety. I believe everybody listening to this podcast has had an opportunity, at least, even if you don't want to admit that you've ever been in fear, at least admit that you've had the opportunity to be in fear,
Come on.
be anxious. You know, even if you don't want to, and even if you don't want to admit that you've ever been in fear, it'll take us to point seven when I get there. But right
Lying. Oh,
now,
sorry.
right now we'll deal with the fear and anxiety. Fear tends to paralyze you.
Yes.
Fear tends to get you to back away,
Yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
Anxiety tends to grip you, and it too can paralyze you. There's a lot of people that deal with anxiety. And I don't mean to demean anyone's plight, but the Bible's very clear about anxiety and fear. They
Yeah,
go hand in hand.
they
God
do.
is not giving you the spirit, a spirit of fear, which means that fear is not an emotion.
That's right.
Fear is very much so a spirit. He is not giving you a spirit of fear. This does not come from God. So, fear and anxiety are something that he will use. God will give you a mission. Hey, Moses, I need you to go. Hey, look, there are people trying to kill me there. Nah, the people that was trying to kill you, they're dead. And Moses came with all kind of excuses. Oh, I'm slow of speech. Nah, Moses. You're not slow. You know what? I'll give you Aaron. Aaron will go with you. He'll talk for you. Aaron's pretty eloquent, I guess. He'll talk for you. Moses came up with all kinds of things. Instead of just saying, you know what? I'm scared.
I'm scared.
Yeah, just I'm scared. And I think God still would have dealt with him graciously if he
Oh
just
yeah,
had.
I know he would have. I know he
Yeah.
would have, because later on there's a scripture where David said, "In the times that I was afraid, I ran to God."
Which is crazy because David was a savage,
He was
man.
a savage,
He
but
was
he,
a
you know what I'm
savage.
saying? But he said, "Yeah, there are times when I've been afraid, but I've learned to run to God."
That's it.
You know what I'm
And that's the
saying?
key. That's the
Yeah,
key.
yeah.
Don't, if you're going to run in fear, run to God.
Run to God, man. Say,
Yeah.
God. And then I always say this, Troy. And when you get to Him, when you get to God, when you run to God, then go ahead and repent for being fearful, because God has not given you the spirit of fear. So the first
Absolutely.
thing you do is repent for being afraid, and then ask Him to help you not to be afraid anymore.
There you go. Pretty simple, right?
Simple.
So again, for the people who would not admit that they've ever been fearful, it leads us to number seven, pride.
Pride.
You will use pride.
Pride.
Use pride and self-promotion.
Pride.
He'll use pride and self. Why will he use pride? Because that was his issue.
Yes, sir. Yes,
It
sir.
worked on him. It worked on the first Adam. He tried it on the last Adam. You know, if it
Yep.
got me, I know it'll get him. And he
Yeah.
just kept trying it over and over and over. So, pride and self-promotion, self-exaltation, these are things that he will use as tactics.
That's right.
Pride is okay. Can we talk about pride for a second? Because I want to talk about pride in its proper context, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
Pride, what is pride? Well, when I think of myself more than I am, right?
Yep.
These lofty thing, right?
Yep.
And that's usually our definition of pride, which is absolutely right, right? The worst kind of pride, though. There's that kind of pride where you think of yourself too, you know, but there's a worst kind of pride, is
Yeah.
when you think of yourself other than what God said you are.
That's right.
That's the worst kind of pride. God says you're righteous. And if you ask people, are you righteous? They, oh no, I'm not righteous. Well, God said you were. Oh
Yeah.
no, my righteousness is filthy rags. Your self-righteousness is this filthy rags, right? But God has already called you right. You're born again, He's called you righteous. And people will have a hard time accepting that. But that's the worst kind of pride because now you're saying, God, I know better than you.
Yes. And I'm telling you, God, that I'm not righteous.
Even though
Even though
you said I
you call
am.
me righteous, I'm
Yeah.
telling you that I read. Oh, just see, nobody would ever say it like this. I'm telling you that I reject the fact that
Yeah.
Jesus died
Oh, man.
to make me righteous.
Man.
That's what
Man.
I'm telling you, God. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
It doesn't seem like vanity, but it is.
It is.
It doesn't
It's
seem
for
like
me,
vanity.
it's connected to the false humility. What I
Yeah.
call false humility. You
Which
know?
false humility really is pride.
It really is, man. It really is. Oh no. Somebody says, man, thank you so much for being used of God. You know, I mean, and you go, oh no, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. It's like,
Well, who was it standing there with that microphone then?
you know what I'm saying? It's like, I saw your hand go up and lay hands on that young person,
Yeah.
right? I saw your legs and feet walk across, but it's that false humility, man. It's pride all day, where maybe you're not comfortable with saying, I give God all the glory. For sure, give it back to him, but don't get spooky spiritual and weird with it, right? You just say, man, God is so good. That's normally what I end up saying. Man, isn't he great?
No.
Wasn't that awesome? You know what I'm saying?
I
And hey, thank you for being the tool that God. Yeah, man, I'm so grateful that he allowed me to be relevant, and I just want to say thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? And they go, yeah, he really is, right? You just give
That's
it back
it.
to him.
I used to not, I used to be real uncomfortable with that when I first got started in ministry.
Yeah.
And it was my father that helped me with that. My dad helped me with that. I told you before, my dad was the best Bible teacher I've ever had.
That's awesome too,
I
man.
still contend to that to this day.
That's
He's
awesome.
been gone for what, 14 years, and
Wow.
there's a whole lot that he taught me that I'm still teaching myself and other
Yeah.
people. I remind
Yeah.
myself of this stuff. And when I first got started in ministry, he helped me with that because I'm like, people keep coming to me and they say, "Oh, thank you, thank you." I'm like, "Look, I don't know how to." He said, "Look, let me tell you exactly how you handle this."
Yeah.
He says, "Sometimes people need to thank somebody they can see.
Yep.
They
That's
may
good,
not
man.
be where you are. They need to thank somebody they can see." He said,
That's
"Now, what
good.
you do is you tell them you're welcome." Right? He
Yep.
said, "And then when you go to your prayer closet and you approach the Father, you tell him, somebody gave me something that belongs to you."
That's really good, man.
And you offer that back to him.
I've heard you share that before. I knew that's where you were going. It's so good. It's
Thousand
so
percent
good.
it helped
And
me
it's
in ministry.
pragmatic, man. It's
It's
not
very
deep.
pragmatic.
It's not corny. It's not
Nope.
weird. It's just pragmatic. You know what I'm
That's it.
saying? It's real simple.
It is
You know?
very simple.
Love
Pride
that.
is one of those things, Bruce. That's number seven, leads to arrogance. Oh, can I say this too? If you're not careful, it will lead to a rejection of God's authority.
Ooh. Yeah, let's talk
How
about
do we
that.
know? Well, look at Lucifer. He swelled up in pride, and what did he do? Rejected God's authority.
Yes,
He said,
sir.
"I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be like the Most High." Well,
Yeah.
no, you can't be like him.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my throne, my
Yeah.
own throne, set above the clouds. No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You're rejecting God's authority. So if you're not careful, this is what pride can do. It can lead you to reject God's authority.
That's
That's
good,
number six.
man.
You ready for number eight?
Number eight.
Temptation and sexual immorality.
Ooh, you said sexual.
Yeah. Somebody.
Hey, somebody just got triggered because just from the word, man. I one of the
Remember.
greatest time I ever had was when we came and did that meeting with you guys. It was a marriage meeting, and I'm standing up at the podium, Mrs. Franklin and I, and I just said the word sex, and just to see the squirms
Oh man.
across the audience. It is so funny to me. You know what I'm saying?
It
That's
is.
so funny to me.
You start talking about sexual relations and stuff like that with the people of God, and you're
People of
even using it
God.
in its proper context, and people it's like, okay, this is the one dirty thing that God lets us do. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not.
That's funny,
You're
man.
missing the context of
You're
it.
missing the context.
Yeah, it's so crazy that people have that feeling. But yeah, anytime you bring that up, even in a marriage conference, even in its
Yeah.
proper context,
Even in its
even
proper
though
context, people squirm.
every married couple in there engages in that, they're like,
People
ugh.
squirm.
It's so funny.
Squirm. Especially when you tell them that your mom and daddy did too. Oh, then they scream.
Oh.
Ah, it's not manifesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Number eight.
No, this is well, this is one of the areas, and I want to say this real quick because this too tends to break down the family.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're not careful, these temptations, and when I say temptation, I'm talking about specific temptation of sexual immorality.
Yeah.
That's not the only temptation that
Right.
he uses, but this seems to be a very common one,
Yeah.
right? Because one thing it will do is it will break down the family.
Right.
And I think that's the design of it. It's not just to break down the individual, but also break down the family.
Yeah.
Number nine,
Number nine.
pressure.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Pressure.
That's a good one.
I think you've said this before. I never forgot it. I think I gave you credit for it twice. I think that's
That's the rule.
the rule, right? I gave you credit for it twice. This would be number three. This would be number three. I think you said this before, and I've taught this because it is truth.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth,
That's
right?
right.
But he doesn't drive us.
That's exactly right, man. That's
So
exactly right, man.
if you're feeling driven, it's not him.
It's not him.
That pressure doesn't come from him.
It's
He
not
doesn't
him.
pressure you into anything.
No,
Yeah,
sir.
it's not him.
No, sir.
Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide you into all truth. That pressure does not come from him.
That's right.
Can I say this too? Because I know we've been on a roll, and there's probably some people that don't agree, and I'm fine with that. They're probably not going to agree with this. Okay. Your marriage, you as a parent raising children, you as a minister of the gospel, if you're a pastor of a church, if you're a bishop over a whole bunch of. Listen, if you're in ministry, period,
Yeah.
ministry is not hard. Okay?
I agree.
I know there's some people that's going to disagree with that because ministry
Absolutely.
is hard. Listen to me. Ministry is not hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard.
It's good, man.
When you transgress, that means you've done something without God.
That's right.
And so if ministry is hard to you, and I know we're talking to somebody, if ministry is hard to you, you need to take an assessment of the things that you're doing without God.
That's right.
Ministry is work. I will not deny that.
Dude, wow.
But ministry is not hard the way
You
of the
said a
trend.
lot there, man.
Yeah.
You said a lot there. I mean that I really I want to say Selah. Let's just stop and think on it for a minute. No, there's a lot in that. What you, the statements that you just made, there's a
Yes,
lot in that, brother,
it
that
is.
you know,
I
that will
believe it.
really help people if if they hear it the way that you're saying it
Yes.
and take it to heart.
You,
Because it's
well,
not it, it's an indictment, but you're not saying it as an indictment.
not at all.
You're pointing to something that is very real, that you and I know people who are in ministry, you know, that struggle and
Yes.
think it's so hard. You know, that's just like, if I may, that's just like when people say marriage is hard.
It's not.
It's not.
It's just work.
Marriage is work.
Yeah. It's work.
It's work. And
And
some of the work is not hard. Some
it's
of
not.
it may be
If you do the
considered, you
work,
know.
if you do it with God, it's not hard. It's just work.
If
It's
you
not
do it
hard.
with God and your spouse,
Absolutely.
If you stay in agreement, if you take some things off the table that we're just not going to devolve to, right?
No.
We're not going to devolve. We're going to keep going forward and growing together. We're going to take this off the table. No, man. No,
Yeah.
ministry and marriage. Maybe that's why there's so much divorce in the church among ministers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was a squirrel. Keep going. I'm sorry. I retract
No, don't retract that. Don't retract that at all.
that.
When you do the edit, make sure you can you like make a booming voice or something like
I
that?
know.
Add some reverb to it.
Divorce in the church, church, church,
Yeah,
church.
there you go. Pressure comes.
It's real, man.
It comes to, especially when it comes from Satan as a distraction, as a way of him opening a door to temptation for you, is really what the pressure is.
Yes, sir.
How can I alleviate this pressure? Well, some will go to a bottle, some will go to some pills, some will go to some hard drugs, some will try to find relief in the beds of people that don't belong to them.
Sure.
There's all kind of ways people will try to alleviate the pressure, and you have to understand that pressure does not come from God.
That's
That
right.
whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that's happening, I'm not saying that tests and trials don't come. What I'm saying is do them with God.
Yeah.
Do them with
Right.
God. So whatever that thing is that you're being tested with, make sure you do that with God,
Yeah.
and take the pressure. Oh man, here we go. Because I know some people are listening. Well, what? I don't know if that's true in every case. Okay, don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. He said, "Cast your cares upon me."
That's good, man.
Now, cast your cares upon me. Watch this, for I will do the caring for you.
Yeah.
I'll do it for you. You just chill. You just
Yeah.
rest with me. I'll do the caring for you.
Yeah,
So.
that's good, man. James 4, I think it's a good place to throw this in there. James 4,
Huh?
verse 7. So then surrender to God.
Hmm.
Surrender.
Surrender means
Stand
give
up to
up,
the
right?
devil. Resist him,
Resist
and he
him.
will turn and run away from you.
So simple.
Verse 8, move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners. I love that. And keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Verse 9, feel the pain of your sin, be sorrowful and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. Be willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, that's James
Love
4,
it.
7 through
Love it.
10.
Love it. Number 10. This is our last point. I
Okay.
didn't think we'd get through all this.
We did.
Anyway, we get number 10. Manipulation and control.
That's the best one in the sense of this podcast. I'm glad you ended with that one. I'm glad that's the last one.
Manipulation and control. He will manipulate situations. He will manipulate people in your life. So think about all these things that we talked about. If he can manipulate people around you to begin to gossip about
Yeah.
you see what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
All this stuff applies here, right? So if he can manipulate, one thing he loves to do is manipulate your family members, because he knows your heart is tied to your family members,
Yes.
and get your family members to get you off track. That's the distraction that we talked about earlier.
Yes,
Use
sir.
your family members to get you off track. These are some of the tactics that he will use: manipulation and control. He'll try to control circumstances, control situations, control people at times. But he will definitely try to manipulate people. He will definitely try to manipulate you.
Yep.
All day long, he'll try to manipulate you if you allow that to happen. You cannot allow that to happen to you. The best way you do, and the best thing you can do, you stand firm in what God has called you to do. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You stand firm in what he's called you to do.
Yeah.
Real simple. I had Ephesians 4,
Okay.
25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil.
Yeah, man.
That word place is topos,
Yeah.
where we get the word topography from.
Topography.
Do
Yeah, like a
not give
donkey.
him an area that's already been designated. Don't give him that space.
That's right.
You see, you
Yeah.
don't, it says foothold in some passages, in some translations, it'll say foothold,
That's
but that
right.
word is topos. Do not give him space, do not give him real estate.
That's right. Don't
This
do
is
it.
what you don't do it.
Don't
And
give
so
him an inch.
if he, this is part of, if he can get a, if he can get just a small entryway, right? He will do his best to wreak havoc in your life. So you, this is, these are some of the things we want to point out in this particular podcast. We talked
Yeah, man.
about Satan's devices. What else did you have, Bruce?
I threw Ephesians 6 in there just for good measure. Where it talks about, putting on the whole armor of God. I think that kind of goes along with what you were saying about, not giving. How do you not give him, an inch? How do you not give him? You gotta keep on your stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? God is, can I say it like this? God has given us more than salvation. Or let me say it better. There's more than just salvation that's part of your salvation package. I've used that terminology before, right? You have armor, man. Put on God's complete set of armor. I'm reading out of Ephesians 6, verse 11.
11.
Put on the complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. You know what I'm saying? And then it goes through, the different pieces. I won't read all of that. I think that makes the point, right? Recognize the tools and the clothing, I would even say the uniform of a believer. The uniform, keep your uniform on. Here's the truth of it. A lot of people are being poked in the heart because they don't have on their breastplate of righteousness. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are being banged upside the head because they don't have on the helmet of salvation. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it from that perspective, right? So I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to read all of that because I think I in my notes, I went all the way down to 19. I'm not going to read all of from 11 to 19. But the point is that we ought to make sure that we're properly clothed if we're going to live this life and live it for real and have any real opportunity to actually be able to withstand the enemy. And I just believe this, man. I believe that once he knows that you know what you know, he doesn't come back every day. Not that he won't come back, right? But you stop dealing with certain things. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier about tolerating things. A lot of people in the body of Christ simply tolerate the enemy, man. You know what I'm saying? And they're and look, Troy, they may even be looking for somebody else to deliver them from the thing that God has already equipped them to stay free from.
Correct. Happens all the time.
Happens all the time, man. Even if you go to a deliverance service or a freedom service or whatever, right? And get some help from somebody who knows how to get stuff off of you, when you leave that service, it is still up to you to stay free.
Stay free.
It's still up to you. Otherwise, it's like the scripture talks about, the demons, came out. And they came back to check and see if their former home was, was it still available? Is this place still for rent? You know what I'm saying? And they find the place empty, swept, and garnished. They were kicked out, but there was nothing put back in its place. No word, no increased living and walking with God, no increased meditation and muttering the word of God. You know what I'm saying? No increased declarations from your mouth of the word of God over yourself, over your family. And so then you find out that you come to a place where sometimes you're worse off and wondering, is God even real?
He said the person is often worse than when they first started.
That's what it says, man. That's what it
Yeah,
says.
man.
I think that's a place to stop, and I think it helps the people out a lot.
I think it
Hopefully.
will. I like this is a great conversation. This was one of my favorites. A lot of fun.
Yeah, this was good, man.
So any you guys, listen, we appreciate all that you do, the time that you spend with us under the fig tree. I would tell you, if you do have comments, you can see like right here over my shoulder, h20live.org. You can or info at h20live.org. You can
Yeah.
send us an email anytime you want to. If you got questions, if you got comments, even complaints, we'll at least read the complaints. But I can't
Yeah,
say we'll do anything else with it, but
we'll read them.
we'll at least read the complaints. Also, for the people that are in our area, make sure you go to h20live.org and check out some of the events that we have coming up for Living Waters. I think it'll be worth your while. I want to say this last thing before we go. Over the next few months, we're doing a migration attempt or a migration effort. We have created the Under the Fig Tree YouTube channel. So before everything, or right now, everything is housed under the Living Waters World Ministry channel. And it is a little bit difficult and a little bit confusing for some. They've said that for them to find us. And so what we did was we went ahead and just created a new channel, and we're
Yeah.
going to migrate everything over to that channel. So if you are subscribed to us already, please, please, please make sure you subscribe to the new channel,
Yeah.
and that way you can get all the content that comes out of here. And please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
Sure.
I'm Troy,
I'm Bruce.
and we do thank you so much for listening to us and hanging out with us here under the Fig Tree.